Imagine Rudimental, a series here on Blueprint for Living in which Annie Smithers will investigate the very basics of kitchen craft. Get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans. Andy Smithers joins me for week two of our adventures with clarified butter.
Hello, Jonathan.
We should recap just very briefly on the clarified butter thing. Thank you, Maggie. Maggie, the butter-detecting spaniel, is on hand. You make it quite easily.
You do make it quite easily. I basically unwrap a block of butter, cut in half so it doesn't burn as you heat it up, bring it to the boil, I suppose one could say, and cook it until the milk solids cook lightly on the bottom of the pan. And what you get left with is this beautiful, clear, golden cooking fat.
All right. And we last time schnitzeled with that. And today we'll pancake.
As we discussed last time, clarified butter is beautiful for flour-based products like schnitzel, which is in breadcrumbs, like pancakes, crepes, pikelets, those sort of things. It's also fantastic for potato products. And here in Victoria, we're about to embark on our potato season. So clarified butter to me is the best thing for cooking grated seasoned potato in, and you get beautiful crisp golden brown sort of roasty hash potato type thingies. They're delicious.
Another time, perhaps.
Another time. But today I thought we'd discuss pancakes. And one of the things that I find extraordinary about pancakes is that it's a kitchen staple, particularly, people who have children. They love sort of, getting pancakes out in the morning. And there's a really simple way to do it. Now, how do you make pancakes, Jonathan?
Put stuff in the thing and then put in the fridge for a bit and cook them.
Yeah.
It's been a while, I must say, since I've made a pancake.
Is it? Well, I'm going down a route that I sort of had never... I'd never really understood why it was like this until I read a gorgeous book by Nikki Senget, so Lateral Cooking. Mm-hmm. And she has a whole chapter in there on batters. And one of the things that she points out is that we associate pancakes so much with the Americans because they always seem to proliferate in all of those American television shows we watch and those sort of things. But she points out that one of the reasons that pancakes is such a go-to in American household is the way that the Americans measure things. Whereas in a British household, you weigh things.
So pancakes in America is?
One cup of flour, one egg, one teaspoon of baking powder, unless you're using self-raising flour, and one cup of milk.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Mm. Makes it so... And
never
she points
forget.
Out... Well, she points out that it is so much easier than actually getting the scales out. You just have a cup measurement. And in the same vein, I've been making a lot of almond bread recently. And I lost my tatty old recipe card that had the quantities on it. And I used a recipe that was, in a book at hand. And it was, again, a very simple, I make double the amount. So, for 12 egg whites, you use 2 cups of caster sugar, 3 cups of whole almonds, and 4 cups of flour, mm-hmm. and you make 2 logs of almond bread. So, again, this is a recipe that has been transcribed for the American market. So it's just fascinating to me how... these things change from country to country and culture to culture, that we don't always, we eat pancakes across the world, but some may think that they proliferate in America more because it's just easier to make them by the cup load.
So here in this Australian kitchen, we're getting here a cup of plain flour. That's the hole's too big for the cup or small. Cup of plain flour and a cup of milk, a teaspoon of baking powder and an egg.
So there's also, the addition of the pinch of salt. If you are a sweet tooth, which is the cutlery drawer?
Getting there.
You could go warmer. So if you were a sweet tooth, you would add a bit of sugar in here too, but I don't think you need to. So sift the dry ingredients together.
I was about to say, sifting please.
Sifting music?
Science of sifting.
What it does is it breaks up the, it distributes the baking powder through the flour more evenly. If you're using a recipe that is using bicarb, bicarb can often get a bit clumpy, so you don't want to bite into a little nugget of bicarb in your biscuit. It's not the nicest thing. I've made a well in the middle. Got my beautiful organic full cream milk here. I'm going to put a quarter of a cup of the milk in to break up with the egg, and then still working. You don't want to add all the milk at once because otherwise it's going to get very lumpy. And then combine that to sort of a stiff batter. And then chuck the rest of the milk in. So that was sort of a quarter of a cup, followed by a quarter of a cup, followed by the half cup. Now, this would like to have a little rest.
It's done in.
It's suffering from post-COVID malaise. Needs to have a little lie down. The thing about this basic batter is that then you can tune it to how you want to use it. So, as I said, you could add sugar to it if you're a sweet tooth and you want to have a sweeter pancake. You could also add grated raw potato to it and some chives and some salt and some pepper to it, and you could have that as a little basis for, you know, smoked fish or some dips or whatever, you know, tickles your fancy.
Pigging out on little potato pancakes.
Pigging out on little potato pancakes. So it doesn't have to be a sweet, you know, stack up your pancakes, serve it with cream, and at this time of year, berries or maple syrup or, that's another thing with butter too. You could make some whipped maple syrup butter. That's really lovely. You get some softened butter.
Your little eyes just lit up.
You get some softened butter and you put it in your stand mixer with the paddle, and then you whip it until it's fluffy, like you cream it, and then you drizzle in maple syrup to taste.
Yum.
And then you have that on top of your pancakes and pour some more maple syrup over it.
Okay, I'm there for that.
That's naughty but delicious. Maple syrup butter. Don't clarify that one. That's the full buttery goodness.
The full enchilada there.
The full enchilada.
Can you do anything with butter solids, by the way?
They cook to the bottom of the pan, so you know.
Okay.
No.
They just go away. But
they're just
there they are, sitting in the bottom of the pan.
They don't even taste very nice.
Okay.
They just taste there.
So a bit of clarified butter going into our warmed pan. Good couple of tablespoons.
I always warm the pan before adding the fat. So just one of those kooky things. Now, a spoon. A long-handled soup sort of...
Sort of a salad server, really. But
is it? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Lovely little pancakes. Little silver dollar kind of numbers.
I think the thing that always strikes me when you start to analyse, you know, something as that you take for granted as much as measuring techniques is that it's absolutely right. It's incredibly easy to get a cup measurement out and make this. And I would bother.
Scales are sort of a barrier to doing a lot of things.
Scales are a barrier. Because it's not even that we're lazy. It's just, but it's also a one bowl thing.
Mm-hmm.
You make one bowl and one pan dirty. And that suits me. Oh, and the measuring cup. But can you smell that beautiful clarified butter?
Yum.
And look at
golden,
that.
Golden.
Golden, golden. Golden brown. That one's not so golden brown. Let's spin them around to the hot part of the jet. Because the bit that you're hearing the sound from will be weaker than the other side.
Yes, I suspect
where
that's
the air's
true.
Coming in.
Yes.
So
one day there'll be a new stove.
One day. So the thing about this that I suppose is that the point that I'm trying to prove here is that you now have this lovely hot pan with your hot clarified butter that you can just take the first batch of pancakes out. Now, there's 5 pancakes in the pan at the moment.
And they're not going to get all spotty the more you go.
So, once they're done, we're going to take them out and then assess how much fat's in there, whether we need a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do need a little bit more, actually. Possibly a tiny bit. You will find that you lose the golden colour the more that it cooks. So I've actually turned that down. And then back to my silver dollar pancakes. So a cup of this batter, or the cup measurement.
Cup and egg.
Egg.
Yep.
Will make, so that's 12, I'd say 15 pancakes that are, you're probably better with measurements than me.
Oh, they're sort of a palm width, you know, little.
I'm just going to drop, there's not quite enough fat in there now that they're all in there. I'm just going to drop a little bit more of that beautiful golden butter in there. And then off we go again. Now, see, observe with wonder.
Mm.
This beautiful, clean, golden surface.
Yes.
Second time round.
Yes.
Secondhand roses are often a little spotty, but not this time.
No little black butter bits.
No little black butter bits.
The magic of clarified butter, dear listener.
There you go. So, that's your pancake.
Beautiful foundation butter, in this instance, turned out into gorgeous little pancakes. Make of that batter, though, what you will, but clarified butter, that's the key to your golden frying success.
It is. We sound like an ad for a fast food joint.
It's horrible, but it's rather delicious.
All right.
Annie Bravo, recipe for both the technique on the clarified butter plus the foundation batter recipe on the blueprint page on the Radio National website. As we light up again.
Yes. Yes. I'll put in the instructions for the maple syrup butter too.
Nice. Right. Maple syrup butter. What a plus. Let's make that now. Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Jonathan.
I said shake, ride and roll. I said shake, ride and roll. I said shake.